Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of the Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance and fulfilling the need for better and affordable education, improving our humanity toward one another, world peace, and of course, as always, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges. My guest today, I'm extremely pleased to introduce Kate McGinnis Wyatt, who is the founder and president of the Journey Through Hallowed Ground Partnership. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm very well, Marcello. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. First of all, Journey Through Hallowed Ground Partnership. You tell that story so well. I'll just say that, among other things, it is a historical journey from Jefferson's Monticello in Virginia to the Gettysburg. But why don't you give us a more...
Certainly, I'd be happy to. The Journey Through Hallowed Ground Partnership itself is a nonprofit we created in 2005 to raise awareness of the fact that in the swath of land from Albemarle County, sweeping 10 counties up through Virginia, Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, three counties in Maryland, culminating at Gettysburg, is 180-mile long and between 50 to 75-mile wide. That, frankly, is where America happened. It has 9 presidential homes, from Jefferson to Madison to Monroe to Eisenhower. It has the place and the footprints of the soldiers who fought from the War of 1812, the Revolutionary War, the French and Indian War, and of course the largest concentration of Civil War battlefields. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there are 30 historic downtown communities that are already designated as Main Street communities. There are 13 national parks, 16 national historic landmarks, and of course a UNESCO World Heritage Site right in Charlottesville at the Academical Village and Thomas Jefferson's home.
Yes.
So we created this nonprofit to help raise awareness that this swath of land should be held up and above any other, quite frankly, and helped significantly to be preserved and shared in a fashion that it deserved. With that, every single town council, every board of supervisors in this entire four-state region has voted to work collaboratively on a very aggressive business plan to seek and secure the national designations available, as well as to help us create educational programs to specifically engage students, teachers, citizens, and visitors.
And you're no stranger to such leadership building from the ground up, if that's the way I would should put it. I mean, you were at one time the Secretary of Commerce and Trade for the Commonwealth of Virginia, yes?
That's correct.
Yes, and served as well as in the private sector. I mean, worked in the private sector as well. So is it too much to say it's kind of second nature to you to see the need and fill it?
You know, we all have our little skill sets.
Yes.
I have had the great benefit of starting a number of for-profit corporations as well as not-for-profit corporations. And so it seemed the appropriate thing to do. I had been building companies in Moscow and Kazakhstan and London. When I returned to raise our children in the little village of Waterford, and it just became apparent that we were taking this these places mm-hmm. and these men and women who created our country in these places terribly for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it is, as I've said, my Dorothy moment, where I had to be overseas for a number of years before returning home to see that there is no place mm-hmm. in this country
mm-hmm.
like this hallowed ground. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's no place in the world
mm-hmm.
that has been more the cradle of democracy. And all of the, all that that means, the ideals of democracy, the disappointments of men and women in trying to bring it to fruition,
mm.
and of course the most difficult time and threat to our ideals during the Civil War that were waged here, but then the humanity of each family rebuilding itself, rebuilding their community, rebuilding this country. These are the stories that are in the soil beneath our feet.
Mm.
These are the stories that make us American. And these are the stories that we seek to share with, as I say, students and teachers and citizens and visitors, because it is the cultural fabric
mm-hmm.
that has to be continued into the future to sustain our American ideals. It's not just the places, although they're important to preserve. It's not just the landscape, although it's critically precious
mm-hmm.
to respect. It's the stories mm-hmm. of those who we now benefit by their actions, and from whom we should take on the mantle of carrying forward these ideals of America. I loved your introduction, by the way, about the humanity and civility and preserving our history as we seek to educate and elucidate
yes.
Each other. So that's a lot of what we do.
Yes, yes. I thank you. I'm wondering, because you touched on this a bit, this, even though with the 150th anniversary of the Battle of the Wilderness, this 180 miles of National Heritage Area, and we'll talk about specifically what that means, because that's a distinction that is important, but it's not just about the Civil War. It's about even wineries, for that matter, but it's about the cities and towns that have grown up, the people that are there, and the various wars that have been fought, and peace times that are the glue, if you will, to our beginning, our initiation as a nation, and the whole process of going into schools and making certain that young people get that in their own way, that they get to own it. And I guess I've gone that far. I guess I better ask the question. Vodcasts. That wasn't exactly where I was going at the beginning of the question, but we both feel strongly if we do not share our past with our future in a way so that our future owns it and protects it, then we have you know, failed the mission. So you are going into a number of schools, different levels, ages, etc., and among other things, vodcasts, which I just love the word. Can you explain that to us and what that program is about?
Of course, of course. Unequivocally, the most important work we do are our educational programs, and we do target middle school students, although we also have high school programs and college programs and graduate programs mm. and programs to teach teachers, as well as even professionals
mm-hmm.
who interact with the public. But our middle school programs, and we have several that have won national awards,
mm-hmm.
and were created actually by a brilliant woman in the Charlottesville area,
oh.
Angela Stokes. Brilliant woman,
mm-hmm.
One of which is called Art of the Student, by the Student, for the Student
yes,
program.
Yes.
It is a year-long program where we are literally working with the entire sixth or seventh grade of a middle school, and those students are tasked with determining what they find most interesting about one particular historic site at one particular time in their own community. We pick the site now
mm-hmm.
and bring the students to it. So in the most recent case, it was the students in Orange County, Virginia.
Yes.
In two separate middle schools who were brought to the National Park site, the Wilderness Battlefield, and put through six separate stations where we had the best and brightest subject matter experts and artifacts at each station. Mm-hmm. But it's completely inquiry-based learning, so the students have to ask questions as mm-hmm. they go to the stations. Because their assignment is, as I said, they have to walk away from that battlefield thinking, what's the most interesting thing about mm-hmm. that place? It's completely open-ended in the sense that we don't say it has to be about the battle or it has to be about the house and the citizens who lived in the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Because the premise of this entire program is that these middle school students go into these places and they have a different way of seeing and hearing
yes.
than we do.
Yes.
And so they come away with things that can educate us all. So in this process, each of the students have to become engaged. And then they will spend 2 weeks in the classroom writing up the reason and the pitch, if you will,
mm-hmm.
of why they think their idea is the most interesting about that site.
Wow.
We have a full assembly of students who then, and teachers and Park Service representatives, who then assemble, and we literally, as if they were pitching their idea to a movie producer,
mm-hmm.
the entire class then votes on each pitch to see which one is the most interesting. And the final six winners become the nexus of a movie production company, six separate movie production companies. And then we work with the students throughout the year to help them use primary source documents only, mm-hmm. letters, diary entries, photographs, and maps, to then write the scripts, block the shots, act the parts, make the props, make the music, film it, edit it, do the special effects, and their final six mini-movies or vodcasts are then official National Park Service interpretive material.
Oh, wow.
As well, they're shown on our website, they're shown on SchoolTube and TeacherTube, so they're used around the country by teachers who are educating middle school students with the work of middle school students. Comcast is showing them on demand as well. Mm. And at the end of this year-long process, these students own these places. It's just phenomenal.
It is, and you know, and when I hear you describe it, I remember the word I was trying to get to. We immerse them in it, and when they are so immersed in it, and when their contribution, their product, is a visual, a hands-on thing that they create, it is that creative artist that that teaches us. It's still true that no matter what we do digitally, if we actually take pen to paper and write down something, we remember it. Well, we can watch a movie, but if you make one, you know, you can read a history book, but if you create a historic podcast, then it becomes part of you. It is forever ingrained.
Yes, indeed.
And that is the way to take our past and present into our future. I think it's perfect. It's perfect.
Well, I'll tell you, we've had the benefit now of working with 13 different classes in 4 different states.
Mm.
And these students, and we've done this now for 5 years, and it is transformational.
Yes.
On so many different levels, some of which we had hoped for, some of which we did not even anticipate.
Mm.
I will tell you, we've walked into a classroom with 13 languages being spoken.
Oh, my goodness.
And when the students are told that, you know, we're interested in what they think is interesting about mm-hmm. the battlefield in their community during the Civil War, the response is, it's not my Civil War. My Civil War is being fought in my country.
Wow.
So why should I care about this?
Uh-huh.
Well, those students, when they found out that Irish immigrants fought on that battlefield, they asked the question, why did they do that? And the response was, why don't you find out why?
Mm-hmm.
And that became their podcast. And they're not permitted, really, to do a straight-line documentary.
Yes.
They have to tell us why that information matters today,
mm-hmm.
or how is it relevant to their lives
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, that video is astonishing, that podcast.
Yes.
And they're all available. And I encourage your listeners to go to our website.
Give us the website.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's www.hallowedground.org. And we have a tab for educational programs. And when you look at our of the student, by the student, for the student program, there is on the left-hand side of the screen the opportunity to click on any one of the schools that we've worked with and view these students' work. It's riveting. Mm. And you know what's interesting? They truly teach us.
Yes.
I mean, these students see things so differently that no wonder we're having downward trending visitation to our historic sites, because we're not addressing what's interesting to middle school students.
Yes, yes.
So this helps these sites reach that audience in a very engaging way, as we are then benefited too by having the students who create the videos become leaders into the future through this process.
Exactly. When I came back to Virginia from New York and years of doing soap operas and whatever, I just happened to come into town, Northern Virginia, and someone told me, you know, they're looking for a drama teacher at a middle school. And I thought, well, I didn't want to just sit around. I didn't quite know what I was going to do, because I came back from New York because my parents needed my medical attention. So I thought, well, I need something. And I went to this middle school in Northern Virginia, and I don't have to tell you, it was, I'd never worked with children that age, so that in itself was a whole new thing. But what I learned immediately, was that I didn't have to cut corners or lessen anything or choose different types of plays. They weren't there to be cute, and I didn't want them to be cute. I wanted them to get into the role. And one of the first things I did, because I think I had six classes, you know, a day or whatever. So I gave each of the classes a scene from 1776. And when we performed it the night for the parents and whatever, the different class would step in. The first class had finished its scene and froze in place, and the next class would step in and take their character's position. The others, the first class, you know, and so the different classes did the different scenes. And all I can say is, watching them, and of course, as with most public school classes, I was predominantly female, and so that was a whole dimension. Having a 12-year-old John Adams, who's also female, I have to tell one quick story. I'm sorry, Kate, I won't hijack the interview, but she was doing something. She was distracted. I don't know what the problem was, and I finally said, "What is going on with you? You know, she's usually so good." And I said, how old are you? And something I'd always said to them, I don't care how old you are, I don't even want to know. How old are you? And she goes, 12. And I was so humbled, because she had been so fabulous. It hadn't even occurred to me that this 12-year-old girl was anything other than the 40-year-old John Adams. So they...
You know, they are amazing. These students are so capable. And one of the things that we found particularly important is that the teachers love this program, because this is why they went into teaching.
Yes.
They don't want to teach to a test.
Yes.
They
yes.
want to be able to draw out the potential of these students, empower them, and see the excitement. Just how excited these students are to be respected enough to create something that will teach others.
Yes, yeah.
And to your point about being gender blind, we have found the same thing.
Yeah.
They are gender blind, they are race blind. We have had students, because mind you, they have to audition and choose, the director has to choose which student is going to play what part. And we don't interfere. Mm-hmm. And we have had African American Lincolns and white children play Spikes.
Mm.
And it is confusing for the audience, but I love
yes.
that we have gotten to a point in our civility, I should think, where the students don't see those barriers amongst themselves.
Exactly. Well, I had a 14-year-old female basketball player play Jefferson, and when I explained to her what Jefferson's mood was when he was asked to scratch out the line of slavery, freeing the slaves in the Declaration of Independence, to this day, I remember how she stood, the whole body language, how it took her so long to get up out of that chair and come to her full height, she was quite tall, and walk to Hancock's desk to scratch out a freedom for slavery. It was quite something. We could go on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but we are going to take a break, and then we'll come back and go on and on. I'm talking to the founder and president of the Journey Through Hallowed Ground Partnership. We're having a marvelous conversation. We will be back because there's a big event coming up on June 29th involving a memorial, if you will, a recognition at least of the 620,000 fallen in the Civil War. I'll be right back with Kate Wyatt. Don't go away. Stay with us. Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio with my wonderful guest, the founder and president of Journey Through Hallowed Ground Partnership, Kate Wyatt. Next, Kate, I know in all seriousness, I've been meaning to ask you this question. How do you travel up and down the 180 miles on a regular basis? Do you clone yourself? I know it's a partnership, but for instance, for the June 20th, well, before we start to talk specifically about what's happening on June 29th, how do you coordinate the various activities and events that take place in the National Heritage Area?
Well, to answer your question, I do travel it all the time. And in fact, you might chuckle. We even did an ad that said 400 years of history on one tank of gas.
Oh, God. I love that.
And I was getting calls from people from Canada saying, you mean I could fly into Dulles and a one tank of gas see 400 years of American history?
Wow.
It sounds daunting, but you know what? It's not. It's easy to get to these places, and I want to encourage your readers just to jump on our website. We'll send you a free map, make it easy for you to get out and explore.
Uh-huh.
And to your second question, really, how do we make all these things happen? We take the word partnership very seriously in our name,
mm-hmm.
and we have unbelievable leadership from 350 partnering organizations and standing committees of Board of Trustees and National Advisory Committee, then standing committees of our destination marketing organizations, all of the tourism organizations throughout the journey working to help us brand the region, our educators throughout the region helping inform our educational programs, the superintendents of each of the 13 national parks working with us to help create a seamless visitor experience and our educational programs.
Right.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. But we have also one of the finest professional teams of people I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
Mm-hmm.
In creating this, you know, we had to be serious and create a real corporation. While it's nonprofit, it is run as tight as any for-profit corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring the very best talent to help build these programs in a sustainable way.
Right.
And that's how we're able to pull off things like this really exciting gathering on June 29th,
mm-hmm.
and all that it commemorates.
So let's talk then about June 29th and the planting of trees and why.
I mentioned that we have a standing committee of all of the mayors.
Yes.
And the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, who, with their help, we created the Act of Congress to designate this entire region a national heritage area, only
yes.
the 38 in the country. And with them, we also worked collaboratively for 20 months and 60 meetings to have the one road that ties all of this history together, generally the Old Carolina Road,
mm-hmm.
Route 53, 22, up to Route 15,
mm-hmm.
designated a national scenic byway by the Secretary of Transportation.
Mm.
And it's the 99th road in the entire country to be designated a National Scenic Byway. It's a highly competitive, both national designations,
mm-hmm.
appropriately,
yes.
are highly competitive. And yet, because of the collaborative efforts of all of our partners working together, these big accomplishments were achieved.
Mm.
So fast forward a year, and the mayors in Virginia received a letter from the governor.
Yes.
and this is probably about 5 years ago, and the governor asked that each community create a legacy project to commemorate the sesquicentennial of the American Civil War.
Yes.
And I know they got a memo because they all called me the same day. And they said, Kate, we don't need another flagpole. We don't want another monument.
Yes.
Can't we do something all together bigger than any one of us could do alone?
Wow.
And really create a legacy project of national significance. So that's when we decided that we could and should create a 180-mile-long alley and plant one tree for each of the 620,000 soldiers who died during the Civil War.
Wow.
And geotag each tree so that the name of the soldier, where he was born, where he passed, if there are diary entries or letters home, you know, show and share his story.
Mm.
Because the fact of the matter is, 50% of the men died anonymously.
Yes.
And most were never properly buried. And all of those families never had an opportunity to honor their fallen son or brother or father, grandfather or uncle.
Mm.
And there has never been a national memorial to the Civil War fallen.
Mm.
So the poetry of this, Marcello, mm-hmm. is that if you think about the Civil War, it was largely fought over the words that Mr. Jefferson wrote.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And today, because of all these wonderful efforts of our partners, as you turn out of Mr. Jefferson's driveway, you literally turn onto our National Scenic Byway.
Mm.
And you travel it north. You're passing through the towns that were burned to the ground and had to be rebuilt.
Yes.
You're passing through Civil War battlefields where these men lost their lives. You're passing over the Mason-Dixon line.
Yes.
And you're ending in Gettysburg. So what more appropriate way to create a legacy project to recognize and commemorate the sesquicentennial but to plant a tree along that road for each of these men?
Yes.
And that's what we're doing. So as we plant the trees, we have proper ceremonies with benedictions and with recognition of the men for whom those trees are planted.
Mm-hmm.
And the next ceremony will be on June 29th, free and open to the public, at Oatlands Historic Homes and Gardens in Loudoun County, which is a national trust site. We will be joined by the U.S. Marine Drum and Bugle Corps,
mm.
which is the finest in the country,
yes.
60 of the finest in the country,
mm-hmm.
and also the President's, the official U.S. Marine Color Guard,
mm.
which is beautiful that they would come and join us because they recognize how important it is to recognize the fallen.
Mm-hmm.
We will be dedicating 500 trees for 500 soldiers. And I should tell you, I planted many of those this past weekend. It was a glorious way to spend Father's Day remembering the fallen men.
Oh, yes, yes.
And and Oatlands has been a wonderful partner of ours, and they have very generously offered to open their home and gardens free to the public who attend our event at 2:30 on the 29th.
Mm.
So it could be a lovely day, and then at 5:30, they will have the opening of their annual art show.
Mm.
It could be a terrific outing, and so if anybody would like to join us, we encourage you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And then be part of helping us plant these trees. If your listeners have ancestors who fought and died, anyone can donate a tree with a $100 donation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful partnership with Ancestry.com so that it's easy to research their information,
mm-hmm.
and to add additional found documents or scanned documents to this growing collection and body of literature about each of the soldiers.
This is an amazing part of what you do, but it's only one part. That's you know. And this is happening, again, you said 2:30 on June 29th.
Sunday, June 29th.
Yes.
At Oatlands House and Garden.
In Loudoun.
In Loudoun County.
Yes. So,
and I should also mention just one thing, Marcella, going
yes.
back to engaging students. We, because of our partnership with Ancestry and wonderful partnership with the Virginia Geographic Alliance and ESRI, are able now to be working with teachers from around the country who are working to engage their students
mm-hmm.
as they research whom from their community fought and died in the Civil War. These students are then coming and planting trees in honor of those soldiers and then populating our database with their story. So we will have students with us as well on the 29th to reveal the stories and to share the stories of their soldiers, as well as Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon.
Yes, that's just so beautiful. Are veteran organizations associated with you as well?
This will be our first public official launch, so we certainly hope so.
Okay.
We've reached out to the VFW in this region, and we would love any advice or support from any veteran organization, as well as the Civil War roundtables, and there are reenactor roundtables as well.
I'll have to introduce your two organizations as something that's relatively new. It is Dog Tag Bakery. And yes, and what it is, I mean, it's much more than a bakery, but it is a school that educates veterans, disabled veterans primarily, and their spouses. It's for the spouse as well, and it's about careers in life, but primarily restaurants, bakeries, but so much more. Anyway, they are relatively new, and they are Georgetown University associated. The students get a certificate from Georgetown University, if I'm remembering that correctly. And I will arrange that introduction. I think the two organizations would be well met, and that's exciting to me. Tell me, it may seem a silly question, why start at Monticello and end at Gettysburg, but why start at Monticello and end at Gettysburg?
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
In really sort of drawing the lines, what is our heritage area?
Mm-hmm.
Why are the lines there? There's a very clear culture in this region, and we include all of Albemarle County, by the way, but our scenic byway starts at Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. For the purposes of drawing the lines around what is the 180-mile long and 50 to 75-mile wide land, we followed really the land contours, because of course that's how the history was made.
Of course.
The road itself was trod first by Native Americans. That's why it's called the Old Carolina Road.
Yes.
And to get from the Carolinas to the eastern seaboard, being able to ford the rivers at the best spot, their pathway became the trapper's pathway, became the early settler's pathway, became the troops' pathway for each of these military conflicts, became the settlement patterns for our towns and our villages. So we drew the lines around really where the Piedmont met the coastal plain and where it met the top of the Blue Ridge. Because if you go further west into the Blue Ridge, you're into the valley, and that was a very, very different culture, and it had, as a result, a very different history. And the same is true as you slide eastward and southern into the coastal plain. There was a very different culture and therefore a very different history there. So the way it hangs together has to be authentic. And as a result, we were quite rigorous in how we drew the lines and the boundaries.
I see.
Now, quite on a separate note, I will admit that Monticello to Gettysburg was quite intentionally selected for marketing purposes. When I first started this, I went to members of Congress to ask for their support, because we knew that we were going to seek the congressional designation as a National Heritage Area.
Yes.
And I'll share a story with you that I met with a member of Congress from that area, who was then, Virgil Good, and who I'd worked with in Richmond before, and I shared this all with him, and I said, Congressman, can I count on you for your support? And he said, well, sure, Kate, as long as you make sure that this boundary goes all the way through my district to South Boston. And the same happened when I met with the congressman up in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You know, can I count on you? Sure, as long as you take it all the way up to Harrisburg. Well, in both cases, I had to say, we can't be all things to everyone.
Yes.
That vote would make it, you know, too expensive for us, in the sense that we would lose the authenticity of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you marketed Harrisburg to South Boston, it wouldn't resonate.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the packaging and branding, if you will, is critically important. And I don't mean to sound crass,
but it's,
this region was known only as the fastest growing region in the country in 2005. Mm. In fact, the National Trust for Historic Preservation in 2005 placed the entire region on their list of the 11 most endangered historic places. So what was as important as the strategic alliances of everybody working together and creating educational programs and seeking these national designations was branding.
Mm-hmm.
And so by putting on our brand from the beginning, you know, Monticello to Gettysburg, it allowed people to at least acknowledge two things. Geographically, people generally know where they both are.
Yes.
And so the sweep is curious and interesting and intriguing. Why are those two connected? And then, if you will, chronologically, it speaks to the very different periods of our American history and heritage that are tied together.
Yes.
And so that's why we use the phrase Monticello to Gettysburg. So it helps people immediately have at least an image in their mind of this region.
And there are many, and you're so right, there are many connections between the Gettysburg Address and the Declaration of Independence, and of course between the beginning of the nation around founding fathers like Thomas Jefferson and the preservation of the nation by Abraham Lincoln. I mean, it is...
Isn't it beautiful?
Exactly. It is. And people should respond to that. They should, and obviously, as you said, they do respond to that because those names stand out in our history, and that's what we need because we need to get them there and to be a part of the journey and to respect it for what it is. Well, I guess I do want to give the website before we go. We're sort of running out of time. Hard to believe. but is there anything perhaps that I've not asked that you would like to add? And then we'll do the website again.
Well, I would sincerely like to thank all of our partners in Albemarle County particularly. We are, as we speak, our students, our campers are engaged in exploring the journey from Albemarle County. We have an extreme journey summer camp that is, as its name would suggest, an amazing two-week experience where the middle school students will spend 2 weeks hiking, biking, canoeing through these historic places as they are tasked with, they're actually spies in the Journey Through Hallowed Ground Intelligence Agency. And they must uncover the mysteries of history through espionage. So they will be, during the coming 2 weeks, charging through Pickett's Charge as one of the soldiers up in Gettysburg, biking and hiking 15, 16 miles across the battlefield.
Wow.
They will reconstitute the Constitutional Convention at Montpelier. They will be African-American freemen at the Gilmore Cabin. They will be charging Harpers Ferry as one of John Brown's raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give them a shout-out because they canoed the James River yesterday as a Native American. They had a gorgeous day. So I don't know if any of your listeners have students or children who are participating in this, but they will, I just want to say they're going to have a wonderful time, and we want to thank our partners who helped us make this possible for them.
Wow. Again, it's, you know, talk about living history. It's just, I wish, I can't help but say, I wish I had, this was going on when I was a kid, because this is, you know, really, this is how to learn it, to live it, to experience it, and then it will be a part of you. It's more, they used to just teach us to memorize dates, and still I love history. So, well, it's a grand thing you're doing. Give us the website, and everyone remember about June 29th, Sunday, June 29th, 2:30 in Loudoun County. But give us that website again, please, Kate.
Thanks, Marcello. The website is hallowedground.org, which is hallowedground.org. And we hope you'll come and visit with us just after, and we'll send you a map.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. Kate Wyatt has been my guest today, the founder and president of Journey Through Hallowed Ground Partnership. It is a journey we all need to take in mind, body, and spirit. There's no question about it. And I'm so glad our children and grandchildren are doing so, but we need to join them too. So, Kate, all the best to all that you are doing, past, present, and future. And I promise you I will be a part of it somehow, and I will get others as well to join in.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Marcella.
Thank you, Kate. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Joining us in becoming one of the reasonable voices heard around the world. 52,000 children calling a timeout from media massage, government spies, and corporatism's marketing secrets and lies. Let's free ourselves from daily recalibration by Fox, CNN, and yes, even MSNBC, and think of the children. Take a break from being framed by those for whom we are merely dollar signs. Hit our pause and we stop their clock. Breathe, listen to the children, and rediscover our common decency and sense. Since 2000, we've been pushed off balance. But it's not so much the 60% of us caught in the middle between 20% empty barrels to our left and right extremes. For a time out from screaming, turn off the screamers, and you'll recapture why children run to and not from America. It's not we, the people, trying to live while making a living on the outside of state houses and beltways that are fueling domestic disruption and international terrorism. It's we, the elected people, fueled by the desperate for status quo fossil fuels people, pumping us into divide and conquer states of oil spills. Why should we follow people who live in terror of a gentle breeze empowering American energy while failing and a little child shall lead them? It's not that the 19th century focused, intelligently ill-equipped members of Congress are stupid, or even that all Supremes have dinosaur brains. It's just that they are paid to talk that way. Altering our balance and balance sheets makes us vulnerable to bankers investing in private prisons for minorities, believing that separatism can be institutionalized. And then, education. So debt-ridden that ignorance will allow Wall Street the power to turn on and off our children's energy resources to infinity and beyond. We need a timeout from supporting our local political criminals, answering opinion polls without an informed opinion, VA management bonuses, and ISA IRS losers. Let health insurance companies fight with pharmaceuticals over their exorbitant prices. The drone master respond to ISIS militia and Cheney regurgitate mushroom cloud foot and mouth disease. Isn't mishandling of CDC, anthrax, and Justice Department giving a pass to 22,000 tax-dodging one-percenters enabled by Credit Suisse enough to swallow with our pizza? Remember, economic terrorism is an equal opportunity corporately offered to every man, woman, and child who, wittingly or not, has become a partner in the most tremendous Wall Street undertaking to undo our American dream. Back before preferring empire, when republics like Rome at its most feared and America at its most admired, there were joint ventures between adversaries, applying their combined genius of foresight, integrity, and creative imagination to build an American arsenal of democracy, like Olmsted's Central Park, that no cokehead corporatism could master. We owe ourselves some time to remember the difference between right and wrong, instead of right and left, and that love thy neighbor as thyself includes immigrant children as well. Let's make time to think while our votes still outnumber the galactically stupid and the dollars of the insatiably greedy, whose primary path to victory over us is redirection to distraction, or worse, apathy for the children. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.
Thank you for continuing to listen, support, and share The Reasonable Voice with your friends. We are now accepting offers for your company or organization to advertise with us. and welcome new sponsors for The Reasonable Voice. To apply, please email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today and every day, and recommending us to all your friends, both online and offline. And please download our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.